How to turn a bad situation into a good one, or how to turn a bad situation into something. Maybe the situation stays bad, but how to find God in a situation? Okay, that's our subject. Okay, wow. Yeah, I think, does it apply to you? Do you need to hear that? How many have been in a car accident lately? Raise your hand. Hey, I asked here in this pulpit one time, how many of you have ever been shot with a bullet, shot by a gun? 5 hands rose. Wow, we got a rough crowd here. One brother said, the bullet's still in me. I got shot when I was 16 years old. He was in his 40s. They didn't take it out. He said, it feels good. I'm comfortable with it. Okay, how to take a bad situation and find God in the situation, huh? So that will be our subject today. Would you stand with me, please? Turn it to your neighbor and explain to them everything you can about that message. Without having heard the message, you do the message. Okay? How to turn a bad situation into something glorious. Okay. Would you turn in your Bibles? Are you going to be awake when you sit down? All right, you may be seated. Something very strange happened at our pastor's retreat. Pastor Ken Fires from Miami, where in Florida there are a lot of venomous snakes, correct? In Florida. Burmese pythons, and whatever, okay? All right, so he flew up here. He was here, and he preached Wednesday night a great message right in this pulpit. Wasn't he a blessing? He was a blessing. He went up to the men's retreat, got there a little early, went walking along the pathway, and lo and behold, a copperhead, venomous copperhead snake bit him in the heel. Yeah. Oh, my. And he went down. He actually, in one knee, he was brought to the hospital, and he was treated. And to make a long story short, and a lot of jokes. We just had so much fun with him. And he came the last night in a wheelchair, and, we had a good time with him, so. We're buying him a pair of rattlesnake cowboy boots. One funny anecdote was, when he was raising his sons, he was always telling them, always be aware of your environment. The little boys, always be aware of what's going on around you. So he's laying in the hospital in the Bronx, and he's getting text messages from his grown-up sons. Dad, always be aware of your environment. Yeah, we had a good time. I want you to look in your Bibles to Joshua 7 and notice a story here. You are Bible readers, and when you come to this church, it'll happen to you little by little. You will learn your Bible, which in my view, our view, is such a blessing to us. When you start to open your Bible and start reading your Bible, God speaks to you. And it happens little by little. and you grow in wisdom. If it is coupled with humility and trust, and why not, when God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that God was incarnated in Christ and came because we are too foolish and sinful, separated from God, and easily get into a lot of trouble as people. In this story, Joshua 7, you can read it, you know, the full text with this man who stole. He was told, they were told as a nation not to take anything out of Jericho. He couldn't resist the temptation. He took a Babylonian garment, a wedge of silver and a wedge of gold. Eventually, he was detected. God called a halt to everything and brought judgment on him, and he was stoned to death for troubling Israel. And they did that in the valley of Achor. In the last verse, 26, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. It's a bad place. That's the meaning. It was a place of judgment. It was a bad place. And there was a pile of stones with the guilty parties buried there. And that's what happened in the story. Now go to Hosea with me, please, and look at this text. This will relate in a few minutes. Hosea and verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, a wife of whoredoms, that take unto you a wife who is sleeping around as a way of life, raising money, supporting her life by prostitution. Well, how could a holy man of God like Hosea the prophet take a woman like this? And God is saying, this is like Israel. I am holy, and I have a nation that is totally given over to the sex drive. They are sleeping with each other's wives. They are living, going after also idols. They are following the desires of their own hearts. This is chapter 1, verse 2. And go take a wife of whoredoms, children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. It's so easy. We'll put down here, we'll draw a picture of the heart of man like this and put a hole in it like that. There's a picture of the heart of man. He has something missing. He has desire. And the desire, there are many, many desires that we have that are, we can say, normal or natural, understandable, reasonable. We are made in a certain way. But in this story by Hosea, the nation has departed from God, and now she is running after many lovers. This is chapter 2 and verse 7. She shall follow after her lovers. So we can put here desire, and there are many lovers or many desires. We could make a long list. And they are not necessarily wrong in themselves. Like I'm a single woman. I would like to get married. We understand that, yes, you have a desire to be married or have a family, or you have a desire for a home, a job, a desire for health. I am sick. I would love to be healthy. And we have many of these desires. The problem is that when we don't have our new heart, then our desires are self-centered. Like we're always, like our desires are really always about us. That this is the nature of man. He has many lovers. And she, in the story, this woman is seeking for these lovers, but she can't catch them. Look at chapter 7. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse 7. She will follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but not find them. They may be out of reach, or God doesn't allow me to catch what it is that I'm looking for. And of course, everybody wonders about this. How does this work? Like, there's the things that I would like to get. I might get them, but then I find an emptiness in my heart. I go after another lover, and I might catch that one, but then I go after another one, and I might catch that one. But in a way, I don't catch really what I really need. We could say these are what we want, or the wants, or the desires of the human heart. What I want. And I can't really find it. That's what happened to her. Look at verse 7 again. But she'll not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband. Meaning she will go back to the first one. For then that was better with me than now. It is true. We follow after our desires and we get into some trouble. And we say, oh, maybe I'll go back to the first one. Because I had a better situation when I was with the first one. It is amazing how discontented, let's put down that word, how discontented and unsatisfied we can be as people. There's always another thing, with the heart of man, my heart. So she, it says here in chapter 2, verse 8, for she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Baal is the name of the idol that she has followed after. And one reason why there was so much Baal worship in Israel was because Baal worship was connected with promiscuity and sexual activity. Like sexual activity in our country has grown enormously in its in our culture. That is something that we grant ourselves. Take what you want. Take it. You don't. The responsibility aspect is not emphasized. The pleasure is. The pleasure. Go after it. Get it. Get what you want. It's about you. It's about your seeking and desiring, and you can feed these desires. So she did, but didn't realize how much God had already given her, how much she actually already had. Israel didn't realize how blessed she was with her prosperity and her blessing. It's kind of like in our country as well. We have so much that we're not recognizing what it is that we have, that we're seeking after many things that come from within our hearts with this kind of empty hole, with all these things that are kind of available to us, and I draw them as little pieces because they are not big enough to satisfy the hole that is in my heart. So this is the background for our message here. Chapter 2, it says, verse 9, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time, my wine in the season, and will recover my wool and flax given to cover her nakedness. Now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her mirth, happiness, to cease, her feast days, her new moons." He is going to deal with her as a nation and take away from her. It's kind of bring her to more of a state of poverty because he wants to draw her to himself. He would like her to find who God is. And I think that's a general principle in life. We generally, like, we believe in God, but we follow the desires of our own life and our own hearts. And then he says here in verse 14, "Therefore, when she is in trouble, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably under her. I'll bring Israel into the wilderness, and then I will speak comfortably, and I will not judge her. I will love her. I will give her grace. I will give her a new beginning. I will give her a new heart." It says that in Ezekiel 36. And then it says, verse 15, "I will give her her vineyards from thence to the Valley of Achor." Well, what is the Valley of Achor? It's where that family was stoned in Joshua, which we read a few minutes ago. The Valley of Achor will become a door of hope. It says, verse 15, "I will give her vineyards and the Valley of Achor for a door of hope." The snake bite on our pastor. That's strange, isn't it? But I want to use it in our message this morning. It happened to the Apostle Paul. He had escaped a hurricane and the storm and the shipwreck. When they were washed up on shore, they built a fire. And in, as he was gathering sticks, a viper struck him in the hand, and he held it. It was attached to his hand, and he shook it off into the fire. And there was no swelling, and he did not die. And the natives were amazed because they had seen it happen. And they had thought, oh, he escaped the hurricane, but he must be a bad man because the viper is going to kill him. But he shook it off into the fire, and no problems. Okay? Bad situation, but in principle, you and I need to understand we have, even in the Valley of Achor, a door of hope. Where there was a judgment, there is mercy always, always in your life, always. Pastor Ken had the swelling. He was hospitalized. But that night when he came to our fellowship as a group of pastors in a wheelchair with his, you know, leg treated, he shared with us. He said, you know, being a pastor is also not an issue of being strong. It's an issue of being weak and finding God's strength in our weakness. It's getting into a bad situation and realizing that this bad situation is not defining my life. Because God is saying, I will give you the valley of Achor, which is almost like a nightmare, as a valley of hope. Because that cross goes to the valley of Achor and changes it. That Christ in your life takes every situation, and by the Spirit of God, we are now with another heart. Look at this new heart that we have is without a hole in it. It is, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. And the valley of Achor, which is like a nightmare or the snake bite, becomes a door. Okay, wait a minute. A valley becomes a door. What is a door? A door. You know, the door is there, but it's in a bad situation. But in the bad situation, there's a door. There's a door there. It's like if you're in a prison, in a way, there isn't a door because it's locked. You know, there's no door. I mean, there's a door, but I'm in a prison. I can't get out. I'm a slave. I can't get out of Egypt. There isn't any door. But wait a minute. There is a door. There is a door. When Noah built his ark, that door was closed. And then it says there wasn't any window in that ark except the one that was above that led in light. There's a door. If God closes the door, he opens a window. If there's a tragedy, there has to be a door there. Because this is the meaning of our new life. There's God. God is there. God is there. God, there's always a door. Because God, that's the definition of God. There's God. Always there's a door with God. But in your heart, go back to this one, in this heart, it's more like this is strange because it's a prison. My old heart, which is, you know, me. This is about me. This is what life is. It's about me. It's me. And this is a small world. It's me. But Jesus came so that it would be about God. This woman is in Hosea. She's seeking after her lovers and can't get them. And when she sleeps with somebody, it's like, you know, where's another one? Where's another one? Like she's never, there's no door. It's like a prison. It's a prison of my lust and my self. But Jesus Christ comes, and it's not about him. It's about his Father. I always do what I see my Father do. I came to know and manifest Him in this world, to show Him, glorify Him. Father, not my will, Your will. The great prayer, that's different from the prayers of Adam. Adam is saying, my will be done. My life, my will, my desires, my, and be careful how you feed your desires. I have a paragraph here I want to read to you about that. Because you can see how this happens. Oops. The steps of the process of a desire. A man allows himself to desire something. Good statement. I desire. I allow myself a desire. A man is married and he sees a woman. He looks again, he looks a third time, he looks at the woman, and he recognizes her. I mean, he looks at her, and the desire begins in him. That thing begins to dominate his thoughts. He finds himself involuntarily thinking about it in his waking hours and dreaming of it when he sleeps. It begins to be what is aptly called a ruling passion. He begins to form imaginary schemes to obtain it. I don't think it's only a man and a woman or a woman and a man. I think it's about a business or a job or an object, a car, a house, so maybe a child, a family. I would love to have a family or any number of things. They are not necessarily wrong. They are like desires, but they are earthly. They also can become very powerful. And in this progression, he is saying, it becomes something dominant in his soul. I want to say, be careful of that, because this is another way. This new heart has a desire for the godly things, where it has a desire for God, has a desire for truth, has a desire for the invisible. We set our affection on things above, and actually it's real. And as we were together as this group of pastors, we kind of realized in our fellowship for 2 days, we realize how much we all love what we do. We love speaking about these things and thinking about them. We love the desire that God has put in our heart to serve and walk with God and to find His will in our lives. But you have it because you are born again. You can feed that godly desire. That's what you are doing here this morning. We are listening to the Bible, and we are saying that even the valley of Achor, which in a way is a nightmare, becomes a door of hope because the new heart defines the world for us. The prison isn't the end of the world. I am the Lord's prisoner, Paul said. Wait a minute, Paul. You are the prisoner of the Roman Empire. No, I am, but I am the prisoner of the Lord. We rejoiced yesterday when we heard about the release of that pastor in Turkey, that American who came home, and we heard that good news and we're happy to hear. And I love it whenever you find something godly and good happening, that we rejoice in this. And this man, they asked, what's your next step? What are you going to do now? He said, we're going to pray as a family and seek what God's will is for. Did you hear that? What does God's will allow? That's beautiful. What is God's will? I got bit by a serpent at the pastor's retreat. Yeah, but it became a message for us that the Valley of Achor, there's a door of hope. There is a message. There is a spirit. That Pastor Ken had this spirit of joy. We all had, as we thought about it and realized how unique and unusual it was. But we also don't have these lower end desires that frustrate people. I didn't get what I wanted. It didn't happen the way I thought it would happen. It didn't work out. I'm so disappointed. I'm filled with disappointment. It didn't work out, this thing that I wanted. I didn't get what I wanted. I thought it was going to go this way. It didn't go that way. Why? God is there. And he's saying, I want you to seek me, believe me, trust me, walk with me. I will fill you. I will satisfy you. You will find me. And if we have a new heart and we realize these things, we can grow in it and feed it and become worshipers of God. And as we become worshipers of God, we also get the wisdom to realize how to organize our lives. Because life is not easy. It takes the wisdom of God to understand how to make decisions, how to stay away from some things and feed other things. Wow. So it goes on, and we're going to end in a minute. It goes like this. We begin to form imaginary schemes, and these schemes may involve ways, listen to this, of eliminating those who stand in my way. I'm going to eliminate the opposition. I'm going to get what I want. It might lead me to stealing. It might lead me to deceiving. It may lead me to killing. It may lead me to betrayal. It may lead me to adultery or some other deceitful thing because of my desire being fed. Well, way back here in church, I hear another message, and it is another heart and another set of desires, another place to set my affection on things I cannot see. While we look at the things that are invisible, we look at the things that cannot be seen. For the things that are seen pass away. By the things that are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? Here's three. Love. I may not see it, but it is here. Love is here. I don't see it, maybe. Like, I can't see it. I can't put my hand. But then I see it through you. I hear it in the Bible. I see it on the cross. There's love, but I can't see it. I can't buy it at Walmart. I can't find it on the street. I cannot find it anywhere. There is love that is not seen. There is joy that is not seen and packaged. And there is peace that is not seen. This is how bad situations turn into something better. It's wherever God is. And when he is with us, then if God is for us, who could be against us? If we have found God, basically we have found everything. If we have found God, we have found what we really need. This is not want. This is what I'm really made for, that I actually need. Look at, it's not needs. Let's cross that out like this. I don't have needs. I have a need. I need this loving God who says, I will meet all your needs, Philippians 4, who says through him we can do all things, who says that I'll give you beauty for ashes, who says I will redeem you. He says that when you can't find your lovers, come to me. I will satisfy you. And then it says, you will not call me, you will call me Ishi, Hebrew, but not Bali. And the meaning of the words are, you will call me husband and not master. You will call me husband. God will be our husband, not our master. He is not a master. He is a husband. Husband is different. Husband lays down his life, takes care. Okay, let's finish. It says, for long enough in this focus on his carnal desire, all this may go on in his mind. Then one day the imaginings may blaze into action, that he may find himself taking the terrible steps necessary to obtain his desire. And every crime in this world has come from desire, which was first a feeling in the heart, but which, being nourished long enough, came into action. Why is it that sometimes people don't fall into these sins? Because they don't desire them in the first place. They catch it way back here. They say, I don't want that. I don't want that. And I cannot be thinking about that. I want to have some other desire in my life, to seek God, to relate to him, to worship him, to trust in him, and to follow him. And as we do that, as the God of all grace, he will take even the valley of Achor and make it a door of hope. And we'll say, our God is not a God that judges us, but a God that loves us. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we have come here to be fed your word and to hear your thoughts. And we believe you. Give us more of this desire for you, to set our heart on things that we cannot see. But then human beings, we say, yeah, but, yes. But Jesus said, if you deny your life, you will find it, a new life. If you lose your life, you will find it. And we can say, that's true. That's true. But we are being pushed in this world into our carnality continually, all around us by stimuli and people, advice and movies and literature and all kinds of influences. But we have in our hearts got the gravity and the roots of faith to deny ourselves and find life, joy, peace, and love. Jesus. Anyone here who hasn't started on the road to believe in Jesus, you can't even believe this message, maybe. You're thinking about it. God is speaking to you and he's saying, come to me, believe me, trust me. Open your heart to me, believe me, and say to Jesus, I believe in you. Lord, please save people. Please, Lord, give people the new birth. Please, Lord, they will. They believe. They believe you are very eager to save, to forgive, and give a new life by grace. Jesus. In Jesus' name, anyone at all, say yes to Jesus on the internet. Please say yes to Jesus and walk by faith in him. And mark it down this date today. You are born again by the grace of God. Yes. Anyone here in the auditorium, you want to raise your hand and say, I did that. Ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Anyone? Yes, for the first time, anybody? Yes to Jesus. Just raise your hand. Anyone at all? The end of the service, we'll have the pastors come down here. Maybe we can do that right now. Amen. Would the pastor just feel free to come down front here? And before we close, well, we'll close now, but would you stand with me, please? Yeah, come on. Thank you. So some of you have come to the service this morning and you would like to have a special prayer, you have a request, or you have a need of some kind. Feel free to come down front and get prayed for by a pastor. He'll pray for you. We love you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life, leading you, guiding you, making the valley of Achor a door of hope, making a bad situation into a good one, God leading us in his grace. Listen to messages on the internet, on our website. Come out to church tonight as we go through the book of James. This is a very good book for us. Father, bless as we go our way and lead us in life. God, keep us from evil and the imaginations of our own hearts, and finding that new affection by faith. Live by faith. Live by faith in Christ's name. Amen.